health scares. Don't they make you sick? Or do they challenge your complacency? Every few days a new story appears in the newspaper about, first of all, butter is bad for you. Then butter is good for you. Salt is bad for us. Salt is good for us. You just have to pick up a cup of coffee and you're engaged in a health debate. With me today to discuss this issue is Professor Robert Atkins. Robert, what do you think about all this?
Personally, I'd rather have 10 false health scares and one of them prove to be serious than it leads to action, than the cynical sense that somehow all this is just a media confection. That's what I really object to.
But how often do health scares come true?
There are random events in which microbes do emerge. They can be extraordinarily lethal. And these account for massive epidemics that have occurred in the past in human history. And I think we would be arrogant in the extreme to think that such things may not occur again in the future.
You're thinking of bubonic plague, of course. But nowadays it seems is the best of times and the worst of times if you want to be healthy. This is a paradox because, on the one hand, we live in a relatively healthy society. Our longevity is unprecedented. By historical standards, communicable lethal disease is exceptionally controlled. Yet we seem to be getting better, but feeling worse. Why, if we're so healthy, are we so easily spooked?
If you were living 200 or 300 years ago, you were in the hands of God or fate. And if you were struck down by a mortal disease, you thought you'd been sinful. But you also had your beliefs to console you. You'd go to paradise or heaven or whatever. Nowadays, we have tremendously high expectations about long, healthy life continuing. And some of us no longer have an expectation of an afterlife. It's partly a matter of a crisis of rising expectations.
Our health anxiety is like a big eater's gluttony or a rich man's miserliness. Health excites expectations of perfection. It's also an anxiety spread by commercial concerns, isn't it?
Indeed. The margarine industry, for example, is actually now a very powerful instrument in pushing the line that butter is bad for you. And actually, there's a strong industrial lobby that has a stake in making sure that we are all anxious and worried about our health.
And they're not the only players. If health scares sell pills, they also sell papers. And what about the research community, which keeps the health scare industry supplied with stories?
Health is always in the news. Sometimes it's the doctors themselves who are maybe responsible. In every branch of life, there are people who like a touch of publicity and enjoy the turbulence. Others are often so convinced by their findings that they ignore the critical views of other doctors and have this urge to promulgate their ideas when it may not be appropriate to do so. If I wanted to avoid heart disease, I'd be taking aspirins, reducing my weight. I would probably frequent my local gym a bit more. I would eat this, that, and the other, and so on. Then there might be another disease I might get. What do I do then?
How much difference would it make to you if you made all those changes? Should you just discount what you read and hear?
Who knows? Some health scares can actually seriously damage your health. They lead to stress, deprive us of the comfort of eating chocolate, and clog up doctors' waiting rooms. There is clearly an information overload, and unfortunately, when the real thing comes along, people might have difficulty distinguishing it from all the background noise.
And of course, it's difficult to disprove something once a claim has been made, however fallacious that risk is. Thank you, Professor Robert Atkins. Health scares. Don't they make you sick? Or do they challenge your complacency? Every few days a new story appears in the newspaper about, first of all, butter is bad for you. Then butter is good for you. Salt is bad for us. Salt is good for us. You just have to pick up a cup of coffee and you're engaged in a health debate. With me today to discuss this issue is Professor Robert Atkins. Robert, what do you think about all this?
Personally, I'd rather have 10 false health scares and one of them prove to be serious than it leads to action, than the cynical sense that somehow all this is just a media confection. That's what I really object to.
But how often do health scares come true?
There are random events in which microbes do emerge. They can be extraordinarily lethal. And these account for massive epidemics that have occurred in the past in human history. And I think we would be arrogant in the extreme to think that such things may not occur again in the future.
You're thinking of bubonic plague, of course. But nowadays, it seems, is the best of times and the worst of times if you want to be healthy. This is a paradox because, on the one hand, we live in a relatively healthy society. Our longevity is unprecedented. By historical standards, communicable lethal disease is exceptionally controlled. Yet we seem to be getting better, but feeling worse. Why, if we're so healthy, are we so easily spooked?
If you were living 200 or 300 years ago, you were in the hands of God or fate. And if you were struck down by a mortal disease, you thought you'd been sinful. But you also had your beliefs to console you. You'd go to paradise or heaven or whatever. Nowadays, we have tremendously high expectations about long, healthy life continuing. And some of us no longer have an expectation of an afterlife. It's partly a matter of a crisis of rising expectations.
So our health anxiety is like a big eater's gluttony or a rich man's miserliness. Health excites expectations of perfection. It's also an anxiety spread by commercial concerns, isn't it?
Indeed. The margarine industry, for example, is actually now a very powerful instrument in pushing the line that butter is bad for you. And actually, there's a strong industrial lobby that has a stake in making sure that we are all anxious and worried about our health.
And they're not the only players. If health scares sell pills, they also sell papers. And what about the research community, which keeps the health scare industry supplied with stories?
Health is always in the news. Sometimes it's the doctors themselves who are maybe responsible. In every branch of life, there are people who like a touch of publicity and enjoy the turbulence. Others are often so convinced by their findings that they ignore the critical views of other doctors and have this urge to promulgate their ideas when it may not be appropriate to do so. If I wanted to avoid heart disease, I'd be taking aspirins, reducing my weight. I would probably frequent my local gym a bit more. I would eat this, that, and the other, and so on. Then there might be another disease I might get. What do I do then?
How much difference would it make to you if you made all those changes? Should you just discount what you read and hear?
Who knows? Some health scares can actually seriously damage your health. They lead to stress, deprive us of the comfort of eating chocolate, and clog up doctors' waiting rooms. There is clearly an information overload, and unfortunately, when the real thing comes along, people might have difficulty distinguishing it from all the background noise.
And of course, it's difficult to disprove something once a claim has been made, however fallacious that risk is. Thank you, Professor Robert Atkins.